NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 540 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. And alongside me is SGR.
Okay. Wait a second. Okay, go ahead.
What a week here for the NYYST podcast. We had Chrissy Boy on Monday, and then you're here tonight.
Look at that, dude. Let's make it more, I'll try to be more consistent, dude.
Some time. As I keep telling everybody, this is the final season of NYYST. The dates are winding down rapidly here. We have just 5 scheduled shows on the calendar left here. Obviously, there are going to be more, like tonight, a pop-up episode. You know, we didn't have this on the calendar, but had an open date. I said, let's get some podding out done tonight.
Do it.
And then obviously with all the postseason and once the season over type stuff that we'll be doing as well, there's going to be more than 5, but it's kind of right in front of us right now that we know that we in season, there's only really 5 episodes left. So 10 years is coming down the pike real soon here. And hopefully the Yankee season isn't ending earlier than we all had anticipated at the beginning of the year, because you know, we talked about the trade deadline and what they did or didn't do on Monday. And then they played a team that they really should have taken care of business against in the St. Louis Cardinals. And they dropped 2 out of 3 at home, which I looked at the numbers today. I was telling you guys, right? They're 13 over on the road and only 2 over at home this year, which is just not like a Yankee team. Like, for the Yankees to not be playing better baseball or good baseball at home is a little concerning here. So they went out on Monday. You know, Schlittler doesn't pitch well. They fall down 6-0, but the bats awaken. For the first time in weeks, you actually saw some energy and some thump out of the bats there. Luis Garcia Jr., the new acquisition, with that big home run. And then before you blinked, the bullpen, which has been so good for the Yankees, just spit it all up, and they end up losing that game. And then Tuesday night, we get the debut of George Lombard Jr., the energy, the excitement that was in the building for that. But again, they don't score. They get 2 solo home runs. But the pitching again with Ryan Weathers and David Bednar do the job there, and they get it. And then last night, you know, Ryan Weathers – Will Warren wasn't terrible. I mean, if you're going into a game and you tell me Will Warren's getting into the 6th, he's allowing 3 runs, I'm taking it every time, because that's kind of what you want out of your 5th starter. I mean, you can't really be down on him for that. And I kind of look at it too, and we were talking about this in our group chat, like, if you got a better center fielder out there, maybe some of those runs don't score. Because I felt like Trent Grisham is just not playing a good center field this year, especially in that instance where, yes, and there's the old adage, and Jim Cott would always say this, if it's over my head, it's on me, but plays can be made too, you know?
And that was all in the same inning too, right?
Yeah.
And would you say both of those balls were catchable?
The second one was a rocket, though.
Yeah, and the second those one.
I thought if he had gotten a better jump on the first one, because it didn't hit off the wall. There was space for him to get back there.
Man, I mean, and he's the kind of guy right now. You can't afford to be playing like this defensively when you're 8 for your last 70. And what's his on base percentage? 310 right now. Awful. And he's the leadoff hitter.
I mean, it's almost like we could see it coming, the regression in Trent Grisham. It's almost like we saw that one
regression
coming.
Regression?
The regression, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I will say just quickly on Jones? He keeps – there's little, like, glimmers of something there with him. So if Grisham continues down this track where he's not getting on base, he's not hitting the ball, and he's playing like this defensively, I don't know, man. Is there? I just don't think there's any chance that the Yankees, smarter Yankees, that they would opt for Jones over Grisham. Especially you look at a couple years ago in the playoffs, they opted Verdugo over Grisham, and that didn't really pan out. So now it might be like a payback for that to give him another chance. And I think they're paying too much for him right now. That their egos are gonna make sure he's in that starting lineup, probably even hitting leadoff in October.
Well, that has a lot to do with, in my opinion, how well George Lombard takes off here in the next 2 months, because I think he could be a piece to put at the top of the lineup. And you look at the way the Yankees went last night; they had a rally going in the sixth inning. Good call, good challenge by the catcher on the Jones. Ball four, which turned out to be strike three, and then Jazz ended up walking, but that was it. I mean, they had four hits last night. Another very winnable game that the Yankees let slide by because they're not scoring runs, and they were 0 for 10 in runs in scoring position. So you could look and say, hey, they're not hitting, they're not doing this. But I feel like in a lot of these games, though, they have at least a handful of opportunities with traffic on base, and they're just not coming through in those situations. So it's becoming increasingly frustrating to where they're going to have three or four innings where you blink in one, two, three, one, two, three, and then they'll get an opportunity to score some runs and they don't do it. Like Elio Ramos led off with the double the other night, and it might have been on what, on Wednesday, right? It might have been on Wednesday, and nothing happens with it. Or, Rice is on third, and it's either Rice gets thrown out of first base or at home, or they turn a double play. So it's like, what would you rather have happen in that situation? So I know people get mad at the Yankees when they get thrown out at home, but in that situation, it's like pick your poison. Do you want to have a runner at third with two outs, or do you want to have runners at first and second with one out? You have to take your pick there. And honestly, it's probably a smarter baseball play to get thrown out at home than turn to double play. But again, it's a situation where the Yankees were in a run scoring situation and they don't come through, So I don't even think, we looked at when Judge got hurt, right? And I said, if you could just play 500 ball till he gets back, stay in that 12, 13, 14 games over mark, you'll be okay. And they're 13 over right now. Well, the problem with that is, and the Yankees are 7-6, 7-6 in the last 13 games, which is fine. If you would have told me they were playing around that without Aaron Judge, I would honestly be okay with it. The problem is that the Boston Red Sox are 30-5 in their last 35 games.
Jeez.
The Yankees are now tied in the loss column with the Red Sox for second place in the East and then the top wild card. The Red Sox just don't look like a team that wants to lose. And we talked about this on Monday. That's all the Yankees' fault. If the Yankees go up to Boston and even take one game from the Red Sox, this probably doesn't happen. But they
Well, how
went
many
up
games
there
ago was that?
in a four-game sweep.
That probably started it all.
That was June 25th to the 28th. So we're looking at a month and a half ago now, where pretty much that was when the Yankees started their swoon and the Red Sox started to take off there, because that was the beginning of the 7-game losing streak for the Yankees, where they lost 9 out of 10. So that's where the fortunes of the two teams kind of flip. But the Yankees have done enough to kind of stay where they're at, where everybody around them is picking up ground. Boston is playing really well. The Yankees have ended, even though the Yankees have played 500 ball, they've lost two games in the standings to the Rays in the last couple of days, because the Rays are on a 3-game winning streak. The Red Sox are on a 7-game winning streak, and the Yankees are lost 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals. So Rays 7-3 over the last 10. Boston 9-1 over the last 10. Yanks 5-5. So playing 500 when everybody around you is hot is not cutting it.
No.
So it's like, what? Go
Same
ahead.
thing that happened last year too, right? They had a
Well,
big lead in the division. It was Toronto, but I think Boston though, Boston started slow and they picked it up. Obviously didn't go friggin' 30-5, but
Boston reminds me a lot of Toronto last year, where they had a very
yeah.
mediocre to even poor first half of the season, and then something just clicked for them. But If you
Well, the
look at
crazy
the
part is with Boston, though. Sorry to cut you off, but like Garrett Crochet is supposed to come back. They don't even have their best pitcher.
right. And that's what should scare you as a Yankee fan. Like, you look at what the Yankees' strength right now is, and it's their starting pitching, rolling out Cam Schlittler, Rodon, Cole, and Max Fried. Well, the Rays can match that. And the Boston Red Sox, excuse me, the Red Sox can also match that. So, how do the Yankees beat either of those two teams? Well, it's going to have to be offensively. And that's why yesterday, when we got the news that Aaron Judge has been cleared for activity, and he even said, I'm coming back. The plan was always to come back. It made you feel good because that's how the Yankees are going to win this year. They're going to have to start to score runs, and they're going to have their best lineup out there. And we were talking about this in the chat last night. How do you get to your best nine with the way Brian Cashman has constructed this team? It's going to be hard.
Absorb.
You're going to look at this lineup in October or in big games in late September when you have a healthy Stan, you have a healthy Bellinger, you have a healthy Judge, right? And somebody that you'd want in there is going to have to sit because it's a square peg in a round hole. You can say, oh, we'll play Luis Garcia Jr. at second because we want his bat in there. Are you sure about that? I mean, again, I'm not big into the defensive analytics because they'll tell you that Derek Jeter was a terrible shortstop. And I watched the guy play baseball for 20 years until really broke his ankle and was a shell of his former self. And later end of his career, he wasn't. But when a guy has a negative 17 DRS, that's something I pay attention to, which is what Garcia was at second base last year, which is why he didn't play second base at all this year. And that's what you want to do heading into the biggest games of the year. Does that make a lot of sense to anybody?
No, and you know that'll get exposed in October. It'll be a big moment that happens. Something comes around.
Are you going to now be put in a position where you're picking between Luis Garcia Jr. and Ben Rice, who's playing first base?
You cannot make that be the crux of this, like of your decision. It can't be between those two. It just can't. But you're almost forced to because I'm shocked they aren't considering even a little bit of having Rice behind home plate.
I think it's too late in the season, and Brian Cashman said it's too late in the season to do that now at this point.
I mean, the guy, he knows how to catch though, but yeah, like the same with Garcia. If you haven't played the position all year, it's something to
And then
really.
again, okay, so you say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to put both of them in there. You're going to keep a healthy Giancarlo Stanton on the bench in October. You're going to use him as a one at bat weapon for a big spot. That's your secret, like your quote, secret weapon off the bench to deploy him in a second and third one out spot down a run in the seventh inning. That's what you're going to wait for with him instead of giving him four at bats in October. I mean, how are you going to do that?
It's a really hard decision to make.
Hold on a second. The dog's calling at the door.
Okay. All right. We're back here live. NYY Sports Talk here. Mike Francesa. Okay. You got George Lombard. Okay. He's with the team now. We got Christian coming back. His camera's going all over the place. It's fine.
Dude, you know what I think it might be? It's those bobbleheads. That's why your camera zooms in all the time. I wonder if it's picking up the faces of the bobbleheads behind you.
It might be. Who the hell knows, bro?
Because once you got up, it zoomed in on your bobbles, dude.
And then going back to what we were just talking about, the Yankees traded Henry Lillane, who a lot of people like, myself included, but obviously, I'm not hugging prospects here, for Ramos, who is, let's be honest, a platoon bat. If everybody's healthy, he's not playing the last couple of days against righties. So you traded a top five guy for a platoon bat who, if everybody's healthy, how do you make the defense in the outfield work then?
I don't know.
Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not playing Aaron Judge in center field. I'm not doing it.
No way. No,
Because
he's way too valuable and right.
you could make the argument to help get your top bats in there. You play Judge in center and then There's no way. There's no
Stick and
world.
Stanton out there?
There's no, I mean, you can't entertain that, can you?
Did they do it the last 2 years? I want to say, did he play in the outfield at all in the playoffs? I want to say he was out
Not in
there at
the
some.
postseason, but he
No,
did a
yeah,
little
he
bit
did
last year in the regular
during the
season.
season.
I mean, if you really want to get your best nine out there, but I mean, think about your outfield defense at that point.
I don't know. I don't know. You really got to see something from Stanton.
It's a tough lefty. I guess what you could do is put Belly in center field and then Ramos in left. I guess that's the way you would get Ramos in the lineup against a lefty. And then against a right-hander, you know, Belly's going to be in left. And then I guess they're probably going to go with Grisham. I would
Yeah.
start, I honestly, I would start trying to work Spencer Jones in the center field to see if it's something that can happen in October. That's what I would do. I don't think either one of them is going to hit a ton. Did I lose you?
No, you were just in the middle of a sentence.
Oh no, I was saying I don't think either one of them's going to hit a ton right now at this point. Maybe one of them can get on a heater, but I think I trust Jones a little bit more defensively right now.
It's going to be it's almost like you can't even predict what they're going to do until you get there, and you got to see what that roster's looking like come the first round, because there's too many variables right now.
But even before we get to the postseason, the Yankees are going to be playing a lot of big games in September. They got four with Boston. They got four with the Red Sox. These are all games. The Yankees, at a minimum, probably have to go 7-1 in those eight games. And don't forget that in both of those series, which I don't know if this is a good thing now, are in the Bronx. And in both of those series, they have to play a doubleheader. So while on the, like I said, we talked about this on their own. Do I like picking up a guy like Ramos to platoon? Yeah, sure. I think he hits lefties really well. It's not a bad move. And Garcia Jr., we've seen the guy's gonna mash, especially if you're patterning, easy for me to say, your swing after Robinson Cano, and you're playing at Yankee Stadium. That's gonna be very beneficial for him. And I've already really liked the guy. I think he's fitting into the team really well. But
Yeah, when you jump out like that, that's always a
it's a
good
first base
start.
DH type when you already
Yeah.
have three of them on the roster.
That's Cashman for you. His excuse would be, it's like there wasn't a lot available, right? There was not a lot out there in the market, so we got to kind of just go and look and find. We pick at the bargain bin and we grab this and we get that, and we had to get the best offensive pieces, and so we got Ramos, and that's what it was.
What aisle do you find Ramos in? Was it in the health and beauty aid aisle? Was it in the chip aisle? Where did you
It
find
was
him?
actually in the healthcare, house and beauty products care. We went right down there, right next to the Dove deodorants. We found Elliot Ramos right there, and we picked him there. And then if you went down the water and liquids aisle, that's where we found Luis Garcia. And you go a little bit further on down, and you just go through the supermarket, and that's kind of how you do it. You go to Goodwill if you have to. Yeah.
Well, I wish the Yankees would at least went to Goodwill to pick up a reliever here.
That was the most frustrating part, I think, of the deadline.
There are two things that
In the
really,
catcher.
now that we are a couple days past it, there are two things that really bothered me about the deadline. Look, I think the Yankees did pick up the best offensive player that was traded at this deadline in Garcia Jr., so I can't get mad at that. But again, positional fit here is a thing. That's why, like, you can argue all you want to about how the Yankees should have had Luis Arraez. Where is he playing? They had no interest in trading Jazz, certainly not at the value that he would have returned for them at this point. Although I still would have done it. I would have done it back in January too, at that, if we're being honest about everything. So,
And to Garcia's first game, right? He hits the big home run, gives them the lead, and then that one your one weakness that you didn't choose to address is what ends up costing you the game. So all of that, like you could have the best offensive pieces possible, but your weaknesses are going to get exposed in October. It happens every time.
Austin Wells has been hitting a lot better over the last month or so. So I do believe that the Yankees think that that is closer to who he is than the guy that was the worst offensive player in baseball for the first couple of months. And you asked this in our chat the other day, why is he hitting better? Well, nobody's really brought this up. I haven't seen it brought up anywhere, but maybe it's because the headaches are gone. He landed on the IL because of these cervical headaches. Ever since he's been back, he's been a much more competent hitter. And over the last month or so, he's been closer to the guy we saw last year, which, let's be honest, people love to shit on Austin Wells, but you give me a catcher with his abilities back behind the plate that hits 20 home runs, has a 700 OPS, and drives in 70 runs. I don't know how you scoff at that. So maybe he's healthy now.
Could be. Could just be that. Could be that. I mean, you had that with Volpe last year, it was the shoulder. Then he comes back this year healthy. And or is it just a heater? Is he on a heater and he's going to come back to Austin Wells that he's been all year?
It's possible. I mean, I have a little bit more faith in him than other people do because I saw the guy last year, and I think he's closer to that than what he was previous. That's what I think he is. But also, like I said, there's two things that really bothered me. The first thing is that you didn't address the catching situation at all. Okay, you didn't want to go and trade for a starter. You want to pay the Adley Rutschman, Liam Hicks price. Fine. Okay. You believe in Wells. You know the pitching staff loves him. And ultimately, that's the most important thing, right? But Ollie Sanchez should not be playing games for the New York Yankees. I'm sorry. It was a cute story, and everybody loved it when he hit the first home run in Chicago. But the subsequent two games when the Yankees lost, he was at the crux of that for some of the things that he did in. Did or didn't do, I should say. Okay. There's a reason why guys toil in the minor leagues for 6 years. So to not even address that was a failure. Okay. That's number one. And number two, this is the first deadline since 2015 where the Yankees did not, and obviously we're excluding the COVID season here, but since 2015, this is the first deadline where the Yankees did not acquire at least one relief pitcher.
Wow.
I mean,
Wow.
you have
When did they get, when was like Kane, Lee, and Robertson? What
that
year
was
was that?
17.
17?
And
When did
even
they trade
if
for Miller or sign Miller? They
they signed
traded, but
Miller, but yeah, they gave him a
yeah,
4-year
what was that
deal.
deal though with Beltran?
Beltran,
There was a trade or something? Or no, I don't
they
know.
traded Beltran. They remember they sold it in 2016. But even when they sold in 2016, they traded Miller, they traded Chapman. They still traded for Tyler Clippert so they could have an arm out in their bullpen. So even in that year, they traded for a relief pitcher. And even in 2023, when they basically did nothing, they traded for Kenyon Middleton, who was a relief pitcher. So to do nothing there is a little surprising when we talked about this. You might not like Burge, you might not like Duvall, you might have had hopes for Yovani Cruz, but those are still three depth pieces off their 40 man. You need bodies. To not do anything was a little surprising. Now I think they think they're gonna throw guys like Warren and Weathers out there, but right
Schmidt.
now and Schmidt, who he had a little forearm discomfort in his bullpen the other day, but the Yankees have really dismissed it, said it was just cramping. He's fine. Everything should be good to go from here. So maybe that's how they choose to address it. But, it's a little, you're relying on a guy that just is coming off Tommy John surgery. I like Will Warren. I don't think his stuff truly translates to bullpen. And now you're really pushing the innings on Ryan Weathers. I thought he would have been out of the rotation by now because it is. And good. I mean, he's been really good his last couple starts. But again, now we're really in uncharted waters with this guy. And expecting big innings out of him in October might be a bit of a fool's errand there. I don't know. I think he does have the stuff and capability to do it. But again, you're really throwing him into the deep end of the pool here.
They had to have gone into this deadline with that in mind, though, right? Like that these guys were going to be, I mean, every year they always say that they're going to trade for guys that are coming off the IL. It's like the same thing as a trade. That's they Cashman definitely went out there. He tried to find a reliever, but he was probably just very adamant on the price tag, and he didn't want to go over what he wanted to go over.
Well, we misspoke, Chris and I misspoke on Monday's episode. I had read, and he must have read the same thing, that the Pirates gave up their top prospect for Luke Weaver, but that's not the case. I think he was ranked ninth in their system, which at that point, I don't know where that info. I definitely read that somewhere, and he must have read the same thing. So maybe somebody just put bad information out there, and I didn't fact check it, and that's my bad. But at that point, and the Mets paid some of that salary to not bring Luke Weaver back, definitely seems like a misstep by the Yankees there, especially when you traded your top five guy for friggin'
That's what I was about to ask
Ramos,
you.
dude.
Would you rather have Weaver over Ramos?
Yes,
Yeah,
100%.
I would too. So, but maybe Cashman called them, and what positions are those guys though? Like, there might have been a positional need there for
Well,
Pittsburgh.
yeah, I mean, the guy they got from Pittsburgh is a shortstop. But wouldn't you think that position's blocked there?
Should be.
But again, you could be acquiring trade chips as well. You
Yeah.
could be doing that, because when you bring in this many prospects as the Mets did, because they had a full-on fire sale, you're not every one of them is going to be on your major league roster.
And it's the Mets. I bet you the Yankees called about Weaver.
Well, Brian Cashman didn't say it, but he kind of let it be known that he did kick the tires on whether Francisco Lindor was available.
And they said no, right?
Well, I don't think he was available to anybody, but I thought that was interesting that he didn't
Yeah.
poo-poo that, and he kind of let it be live on there that he probably called about him. I just don't know where I could I people were talking about that heading into the deadline. I mean, the dude's owed a ton of money. He's a declining player in his mid-30s. I just didn't see that as a fit for the Yankees.
No, especially with Lombard up now, where would you have even played Lindor second?
I guess you would have just kept Lombard in the minor leagues.
Yeah, but at that point, I'd rather have Lombard just up. Not that I'm not saying he's better than Lindor, but at that point, just call up Lombard. I'd rather not deal with that contract. It
So
would be pretty cool
let me
though.
get your opinion on this while I got you here,
Yeah.
okay? All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Are you concerned that the New York Yankees are going to miss the postseason?
No, not at all that they're going to miss the postseason. Not yet. I mean, if they keep sliding, maybe, and if another American League team steps up a little bit more, but the American League still isn't the strongest. The American League East is crazy, but
There's still an 8-game gap
yeah.
between the Yankees and Red Sox in Baltimore in the division. And then for the second wild card, where the Yankees and Red Sox are tied right now, there's a 7-game gap between them and Texas, and then an 8-game gap between them and Cleveland for being out completely. Does anybody see the Texas Rangers, the Cleveland Guardians, the Minnesota Twins, who were. You want to talk about knowing what you have here and doing what's actually best for your organization? The Twins, who did throw a big monkey wrench into the Yankees' plans at the deadline here by deciding to buy, are now 56 and 59 on a 4-game losing streak. But again, they're only a game out of the final wild card. But you choose to buy instead of retooling your organization here, and you go on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, that screwed us. It's the only time Minnesota can ever do anything that's gonna put the Yankees at a deficit.
So again, you can be worried about them not winning the division, because I certainly am. I think the Yankees need a hell of a friggin' run here in the Rays to help them to win this division. You can definitely and should be worried that the Red Sox are just never going to lose again, and they're going to play that series in Fenway Park instead of at Yankee Stadium this year. You can definitely be worried about that. But if you're worried, legitimately worried, that the Yankees are going to free fall to the point where they're going to be under 500, which is what it would take to not make the postseason, I need to have, I mean, you got rocks in your head. I mean, you're just going to be nice about it. You got rocks in your head.
Especially because they're dropping a lot of these games right now because they're missing some key bats, and those bats are coming back hopefully soon. And I mean, that should totally cancel out any sort of crazy collapse. But baseball, you're seeing it with the Red Sox right now, how it's just like, it's crazy what a good streak can do or a bad streak can do. The baseball season is a series of streaks. So if they fall off like that, I don't see that happening where they're going to go on a crazy skid, especially once all these guys come back. I don't see it being a possibility, really.
I think the Yankees are fine in terms of making the postseason, but
Yeah.
fine making the postseason is not what we wanted out of this team this year. It was all about getting back to the World Series. And maybe I put a little bit more emphasis on that because this is the final season of NYYST, and this is the only way that this show really deserves to end with the Yankees winning a championship. It's a storybook ending, you know, like if they would, it's one of those things where they say, well, if you put it in a movie, nobody would believe it. You know, but I think we've worked hard enough and we've been at this long enough that we fucking deserve the show to end that way. But
Right. A good Yankee therapy for once. A nice party style therapy.
also, look, guys, we're at a situation here where we're post Tommy John surgery for a mid-30s Gerrit Cole. Aaron Judge has now had his third freak accident, which has cost him a chunk of the season in his mid-30s. And realistically, where you have to protect him from himself, are going to have to DH him within a year here. Okay. You might honestly think about doing that next season if Giancarlo Stanton still wasn't here. And in no way is it really beneficial financially for the Yankees to trade him. As much as you're going to sit, as we're going to sit there in the offseason when we do keep him, dump him, and Stanton comes up because they voted to dump him last offseason. And we'll probably, even if he, unless he wins World Series MVP, okay, we'll vote to dump him again because of the constant disappearing act that he does for 90 games for calf strains, okay? In no
Okay.
way financially does it benefit the Yankees to get rid of him. So he's going to be here. So you're going to do another year of Aaron Judge in the outfield. And then in 2028, it becomes a realistic discussion here. Is Aaron Judge a full-time DH? So we're past those two things now, okay? You've invested a ton of money in Max Fried. You invested a ton of money in Carlos Rodon. Both those guys dealt with lingering long-term injuries this year, okay? Max Fried narrowly missed surgery. Carlos Rodon had surgery. Cam Schwindler, as great as he's been, you just never know when you're going to get another Cy Young level season out of a guy. These things just don't happen year after year unless you are the top 1%, which he might be. I'm not saying that he's not. He's definitely pitched like it in the year plus he's been up here. Do you want to waste all this?
And that's the most frustrating part of all of this is that we're seeing one of the greatest offensive players to ever put on the pinstripes, and they're just not really going all out to make sure. I mean, I get it, Cashman. There were some moves where it's like, I don't want to make that move, but you kind of have to. I mean, look what
If
the Red
you,
Sox did for Adley Rutschman.
that's the thing though, bro. It's like, if you're not going to sell out this year, what year are you going to sell out? And
Right.
in this American League too, dude, where there's three teams that legitimately have a chance to go to the World Series, that's it. And let's put our cards on the table here, okay? Talent wise, neither one of them, healthy 1 through 26, match the Yankees talent-wise 1 through 26. Let's be
I
honest
agree.
about
I agree
that.
with that. Totally.
Now, you can tell me that the Rays brand of baseball would give the Yankees fits in October. It gives them fits in April. So, yes, it would give them fits in October. And the Red Sox pitching can definitely match Fried, Cole, and Rodon, and Schwindler. 100%. And they're feeling something right now that Toronto was feeling last year. I agree with that 100%. But line them up 1 through 26 and try and make the argument the Yankees don't have the most talented team on paper in baseball. And once you get to the World Series, you mean to tell me that if Cole, Fried, and Schwindler are pitching the way we expect them to pitch, they can't go out there and match Skubal and Glasnow and let's see, other guys,
Snell,
Snell.
Yamamoto,
I mean, yeah,
and Ohtani.
you can't match these guys. You're only going four in October anyway. You can't match them. And then if you got Luis Garcia Jr. and Ben Bryce and a healthy Judge and Belly, like, you can't do this. Like, honestly, make the case that you can't do it. Now, are the Yankees going to play smart baseball? Are the Yankees going to, piss down their leg in big spots? That's where the counter argument comes, but factor in what we just talked about. You can't tell me that it's not possible and that this isn't the year that you could have sold and should have sold out to put the best team forward. Now, I'm not saying you trade George Lombard for 2 months of Tarek Skubal. I'm not saying you do that, but come on. You needed help at catching. You needed relief help. There's nothing available. You can tell me, oh, we didn't meet the price. What are we talking about here? Price tags of what?
No, and that's where you would be able to excuse Cashman if like there weren't catchers available. But there every hour on on deadline day is just another catcher, another catcher, another catcher. If teams were hoarding their players, I get it. And you know what I think what you hit the most with this is how the Twins really screwed everything up, because I bet you the plan A revolved around the Twins, and when they decided to not be sellers, that was kind of the kind of the thorn in the side there. I'm kind of falling into Cashman now a little bit of my voice. Ooh, this is me. This is Brian Cashman on the weekends. When I go camping, I talk like this.
I mean, a guy like Joey Bart was traded. I mean, I know you look at his numbers.
Dude, I'll take Mitch fucking Garver, dude. He just got released.
You can't tell me no catchers are available when guys like Joey Bart are getting traded. I mean, you can't give me that.
Bart. Who else? Hicks, right?
And yeah, I forget.
And the worst part of it's not even that these guys got traded, it's that they got traded to the two teams that are going to stand in your way.
Yeah, so we talked about that. The two best catching options that were traded in a division.
Sometimes you go and make those moves not because they're better for your team, but they're better to not be on your opponent's team. It's like, we'll take these guys because we don't want our opponents to get them.
Do you
That's why these
remember in
bidding wars
19? You
happen.
might not remember this, but that's how
If you're
Jose
starting
can.
19,
That's how Jose Canseco wound up a Yankee.
Ah, I go on. Let me
George
hear this.
Steinbrenner put in a waiver claim for him to keep him. I forget what team it was, but he put in
Oh,
a he picked him up solely to keep him from another team.
there you go. What would George do? Sorry.
So
Computer's making noises lately. Yeah, so that's where I'm frustrated the most with the deadline. Did the Yankees make good moves? Yeah, I really think, are they a better team today, Christian, would you say, than before the deadline?
better, but not closer. That's a big distinction, though.
That's a good way of putting it. Better but not closer, because they're better when those games have to be played. How much better is it going to be when you're not going to be able to play your best nine every day?
There's more talent on this team than there was previous to Monday, but are they closer to winning a championship? That is what this whole season was about for me. That's what I can't get past this trade deadline, is that once you got here, it was about being closer to winning a championship, and they're not. If
Damn,
Luis
yeah.
Garcia Jr.
Great
was
point, bro.
if Luis Garcia Jr. was a third baseman, they're closer to winning a championship. But because you're going to sacrifice one of the two guys that you want up and in your lineup to play Luis Garcia Jr., or Luis Garcia Jr. is not going to play one of those two guys, you are not closer to winning a championship. That is the only drawback of trading for Luis Garcia Jr. is now you're going to choose between him, Stanton, and Rice, when in a perfect world, all three of those guys are in the lineup, and that's how the Yankees get to their best nine. And again, the argument, oh, you play him at second base. Well, you do not want to play a guy with a negative 17 DRS at second base in September and October. Because the one thing the Yankees need to be focusing in on right now, in addition to scoring runs, is run prevention. And doing that, by playing Garcia Jr. at second base would not be the best way to be preventing run. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it, man. I better, but not closer. If that makes any sense to anybody.
No, dude, that makes complete sense. The one thing with Garcia that could be interesting, if you're talking about like DRS and all that, is to see what his other middle infielder was also doing at the time, because he's with CJ Abrams over there, right? So how's his defense? Because when you're playing, if you're playing with a guy like Lombard, when your shortstop is able to play like that, I think by default, he elevates everyone else. I think there's something about when your shortstop is looking the way he has looked so far in Lombard, that he could kind of hide those weaknesses where, or he could, and he could even elevate Garcia's game. Maybe those defensive runs.
Well, CJ Abrams is a shortstop that hits.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
He's not a great. I mean, he's not
trying to find his DRS right now.
So maybe that's an argument that could be made. But if the Nats,
yeah, he's at -7 right now.
So if the Nats, but if the Nats really felt it was a cause by playing next to a guy, or I don't know, maybe they have a second baseman that they. I'm not really familiar with their roster, to be honest with you. So
me neither.
I don't want to speculate and be wrong.
I just like, I like always going down a conspiracy, you know, with it, because this game is so mental that. If you're telling me, like, what would, like, that's the question then. What would you rather have? Would you rather have your best nine or your best defense?
I go, if Aaron Judge is healthy, honestly,
yeah,
I got to go with my best defense. But if I have Aaron Judge batting second or third, wherever they're going to put him, and he's Aaron Judge, I think he covers so much that you can go defensively at that point.
I agree. You start defensively. Hopefully the playoffs last long enough where you'd even consider having to change an approach. But
I saw this
if Judge
around,
is healthy, you kind of have to focus
on
the
defense.
I saw this
floating around Twitter today that Ryan McMahon has the worst WRC plus of any Yankee everyday player since whatever. And yeah, he's had stretches where he's been adequate, which is all you really ask out of him. But he's kind of been worse than advertised this year overall with the bat. But, you know, you got Max Fried on the mound. How do you not put Ryan McMahon at third base?
Yeah, it's the lowest since by any Yankee everyday position player with 400 plus plate appearances since Mark Teixeira had a 76 WRC plus in 2016. Keep in mind, I believe Mark Teixeira at that time
hurt.
Was dealing with arthritis
wrist.
Of the wrists.
And he retired after that year.
Yeah. So we're talking about, yeah, I saw a tweet, this guy Jacob, and that's BB. Ryan McMahon, fully healthy, hits slightly better than Mark Teixeira with arthritic wrists. Arthritic wrists.
An arthritic, washed up Mark Teixeira.
That's who we have playing third. It's a great comparison. We have Mark Teixeira on this team. We just have the Teixeira with arthritis playing third.
Again, you're going with the way Lombard plays short and the way McMahon plays at third base.
Brick wall.
That's the thing, though. What's more important, Ryan? This is the question the Yankees have to ask themselves once guys start getting back. Is scoring one more important than not allowing one more?
Oof. Damn, dude. Well, you got to think about how do these core four of their starting rotation, who they'll feature out there, how are they giving up runs? Because you have Schlittler and Cole, they're long ball guys.
They're
fly ball pitchers. So there you're not going to really see it. I think with Fried, you would see it. So maybe you would opt.
Too.
And Rodon too. So the lefties, maybe you opt to go better defense. The righties, maybe you opt to go better offense. You could see it like that.
This is true. I think the Yankees, especially with Fried on the mound, the Yankees are going to roll out their top-tier defensive team.
Totally. I mean, he has the most ground balls out of any pitcher, I'd say, in the last decade.
He's going to throw inside on righties.
Yeah.
He's going to want them to pull the ball down to third base. That's how he's going to want to get most of his outs.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to – because you're going to think – I don't know who goes game one. I would say it's Schlittler, but it could be Fried. But either or, if you go with Schlittler first, let's say, and then they go with an offensive first approach, and then one of those guys who you're considering to bench for a defensive first approach has a great game, then maybe you just ride that wave. It could just be, this might be the kind of thing that they're just going to have to really decide in the moment. And it's going to just have to be a feeling rather than a statistic. But that's just not something that the Yankees do. They're going to go by the book.
I don't want to concede a division on August 6th, but right now I would say it's probably unlikely the Yankees win a division right now. I'm just saying not conceding, but saying
No.
unlikely. So let's go into the scenario here where the Yankees are in that wild card series. We saw it play out last year. It's probably most important who goes in game two, because that's the swing game that either gets you home or gets you to game three. So would you put your? You really can't go. That's the thing, though. You're talking about Gerrit Cole, Cam Schlittler, and Max Fried. So it's like whoever goes game one, it's like you're going to make an argument against them.
Right.
You
You could
really.
interchange all three of those guys and you wouldn't be surprised with the line.
It's like who? But it's like if game two becomes the must win game because you drop game one like they did last year.
I want Fried in the middle.
You want Fried in the middle.
I want Fried there for that game.
I think the Yankees
Although
are going to.
Schlitt, though, last year, he was that guy.
I think it could win or go home in Fenway Park. How do you not put Cam
I know
Schlittler?
you have to go Schlitt.
How do you not put Cam Schlittler on the mound in that game? That guy would be walking around with the hugest fucking
Oh
erection
my
for the whole
God.
day.
Fucking hogged up. Now, yeah, that's it just depends on the matchup, I guess, perhaps.
But
But yeah, I don't know.
All things being equal, you could. I think the Yankees want to split the righties. I think that's what they want to do. And you put Fried in the middle. I mean, you're not going to complain about that. You got to win a game. You put Max Fried on the mound. You're going to cry about it. It's just that what do they value more? Do they value Cam being in that situation to take it home in game three more, or Cam setting the tone more? Or you could say either way about Gerrit Cole. Would you rather have Gerrit Cole on the mound in game one to set the tone for the series, or Gerrit Cole because it's win or go home?
Yeah, see, I'd almost rather Cole be the guy at the end where make or break. He's either going to be the one that continues the season going up
See,
or.
I disagree with that point, only not because I don't trust Gerrit Cole in a game three scenario, but Cam Schlittler gets off on that.
I know, but are you willing to risk not pitching Cam Schlittler in a playoff series?
Okay, let's say the Yankees go down 0-1.
So then you're locking in Fried game
You
one.
lose, but that's the thing though, Ryan. We're gonna play this game here
Yeah.
where they go Gerrit Cole game one, they lose 2-1 because they can't fucking hit.
Yeah.
They go to Max Fried in game two, they lose 2-1 because they can't fucking hit. And then it's the whole Buck Showalter thing. How'd you go down without putting Cam Schlittler up?
Right.
But
Good
it was
reference.
Max Fried and Gerrit Cole. That's
Right.
how.
Yeah, who did Buck opt to keep in over Britain there?
I don't remember, but it wasn't the guy on Zach Britton's level.
No.
So that's the argument. It's like you're damned if you do. It's like, okay, so you go Gerrit, you go Schlittler and Fried, and then you went home without pitching Gerrit Cole, and then this guy, you got a potential Hall of Famer, a former Cy Young Award winner, and you didn't pitch him in a postseason series.
He had Ubaldo Jimenez. He went with
Yeah, good.
Jimenez.
Yeah, good job there.
Gave up a game-ending three-run walk-off home run. Two, do you remember who did it? Who
Was it
ended
Joe?
Baltimore season?
It had to be Joey
Former
Bats, but
Yankee,
no.
wears something on his arm when he runs the bases.
Was it
Parrot.
Edwin?
Edwin.
Was Edwin?
Yeah. According to Google.
You know, Edwin Encarnacion was the only, and the Yankees picked him up a little bit.
Yeah,
Wait, I
what,
think towards the end of
19?
in June, but so they didn't really do anything at the deadline. But he was the quote deadline acquisition for that year. People
Yeah.
forget how great he was
Oh,
for the
he was
Yankees.
great against, I want to say it was Cleveland, right? That he kicked ass
I mean, he
playoffs.
really didn't. I mean, he kind of fizzled out in the postseason there, especially in the. I really don't remember him doing much in the ALCS, but he was so
Yeah, I think the
good. He was
DS, he had a decent round, though.
exactly what the Yankees needed. And
That was a
that's
good
what I
trade.
was getting in arguments with people about this. And I think you saw it. Like, I posted all the Yankees deadline acquisitions since Aaron Boone's been here. And so I don't understand the argument when people say, well, they're not going to do anything. Well, what gave you the idea that they weren't going to do anything? They're always active at the deadline. Yankees are always doing something. Your argument and what you
YPM, you think? Was it the YPM at work?
what me
Just that
I'm
na no, not you, the narrative that they're not going to do anything. Is that
of the Yankee, the YPM would never
some
push them out.
burners?
That was the anti-YPM there.
Oh,
But
shit.
your argument is Brian Cashman being stingy with the top of his farm system. That's your argument. Your argument is Brian Cashman getting good but not game-changing players at the trade deadline. Not pushing all the chips into the middle of the table. Not that he's not going to do anything. Christ, Brian, they turned over 23% of the roster last year. They traded for seven players at the deadline last year. So you can't make the you can't say they didn't do nothing. It's just that what are they going to do? What level are they going to play at here? And even in 2024, you might not have loved everything that they did. I mean, their big pitching acquisition was Mark Leiter Jr., and that didn't go so well. But again, just like with Luis Garcia Jr., in 2024, the best position player that was traded, the best offensive player that was traded at the deadline, was traded to the Yankees. So outside of COVID, in the year Judge was out and they were pretty much cooked by the deadline in 2023, they've done something. It's just that you might not have liked it. And again, this year you can argue that you don't like it and they should have done more. But the Yankees sitting on their hands and doing nothing is just, it just doesn't happen.
And that's always a positive you could take out of it too. I mean, like obviously you want more, but there were teams out there that didn't do much and could have. That's the argument though that you're seeing so much with like with the Dodgers and all that is like every team can do that. But I think this deadline really proved that point wrong. I don't think every team is under the same impression with one another. So you, it just it they could have done more, but. When you're the Yankees, there's that Yankee tax. It's definitely a thing. They're definitely going to push for more. I mean, I know it was January, but the Scooble trade, who they were asking for compared to what they got is not, it's incomparable. So there is definitely a Yankee tax involved with this. And so maybe a different GM doesn't get anything done. If you want to look at it as a glass half full thing, maybe Cashman is doing the maximum that he can do as a Yankees GM.
I posted this before we came on the air here, and because I saw somebody wanted to throw a parade for Aaron Boone because he finished second once in 9 years. So I posted this on X. I said this debate about Aaron Boone is so tiresome. Here are the facts: he's won zero world championship as Yankee manager. He's been here 9 years. If Joe Torre can overstay his welcome, then so can Aaron Boone. If the Yankees aren't the last team standing in 2026, then there is no reasonable debate you can have to argue he should be back in 2027. And then naturally, you get one bucket head here that says to blame him for Wells, McMahon, Jazz, and Grisham all underperforming is unfair. That is on the players. And if the players can't make it happen, then it's on the GM who brought them here. There is far more of an argument against Cashman than Boone. And the reason why you're a fucking buckethead is because you didn't read where I said he was here for 9 years. This is what people that defend this guy don't understand or can't get through to themselves is that he's been here for 9 years. Okay. And like I said, if Joe Torre with four friggin' rings and six pennants can overstay his welcome, then a guy with one pennant can certainly do the same thing. So, yeah. Aaron Boone is not to fully blame for every one of the Yankees' failures since 2009, or certainly since 2018, since he's been here. I'm not saying that he is. But the fact of the matter is, when did he earn a lifetime contract for finishing second once?
No, especially when the two previous who came before him, when they parted ways with, they were both World Series winners.
Joe Torre won four titles, been to six World Series, overstayed his welcome. He was here for 11 seasons. You know what? It happens. It was time for him to go in 2007. I hated to see it, but it was time for him to go. I mean, he definitely, the message, as they say, wasn't the same as it was even a few years ago. Okay. Got it. Brian Cashman, who had a world championship manager in Joe Girardi, and a guy that took a rebuilding team to game seven of the ALCS, couldn't wait to get rid of him. And after 10 years, okay, you could say probably the time for Joe Girardi to go as well. We're on year nine of Aaron Boone. If the Yankees want to keep him around or give him an extension and they win a world championship this year, guess who's not complaining about it? But if they don't win, how can you make the argument he should stay after nine fruitless seasons? That's my counterpoint. When
Because
did
the
he earn?
mindset is different now, man. It's unbelievable how the modern Yankee fan just does not value championships the way a lot of Yankee fans that came before do. It's what it comes down to, dude. You see it over and over and over again. It's just so many fans excuse the lack of going for it.
They post I the post that it came from that made me m make my post was, this is a guy that makes Yankee fans angry, and it showed the hundred, all his regular season, the 100-win seasons, the division title,
Yeah.
and then I actually commented on that. I said, now do the postseason finishes.
But that's what being a Yankee fan is, and that's what gets so frustrating, and it makes me almost take a step back in a way, because it's just like that mindset, whether you even believe it or not, it's not a mindset that they are pumping out and producing right now. It's such a parody of an approach that it's a crapshoot approach and all of these things, and it's not a crapshoot. It's not. If you build the best team possible and you outmatch the rest of the teams in your league, then you can go to the World Series. You saw it in 24. I mean, going into that postseason, I'd say we were fairly confident that they were going to go to the World Series, and it wasn't necessarily because of them, it was because of everyone around them too that played a big part of it. To not take advantage of these years, of these last couple of years of Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole, and to not take advantage of these years where the American League is at its weakest, and to just not go out and get the best team possible. In my mind, it's like I don't think they care anymore that the window for Cole and Judge is closing, because now a new window's opened with Schlitler and Rice. So their mindset is, we don't have to go all out. We don't have to risk our future for one season, because we will every year. What is their goal? They model this team like a business. They're not going for championships. They're going for year in, year out being a competitive team that we're talking about now, that has an 8-game lead in a wild card spot, that they're going always every single year. You're never going to see them play like the Mets did this year with such a big payroll. You're just not going to see that. And in that area, yeah, that's great. But I don't know how much I want to consider baseball as a form of entertainment rather than a competition that I want to watch, and a contest that I want to see the team I root for win. Because this approach has totally flipped my viewing of the Yankees this year. I'm really, like, as much as I want them to win a championship, like, it's more just about, man, like, I'm viewing the games as entertainment. I have something to watch every night, and I hate that that's my mindset now. As much as I enjoy it and it is cool that they're good every single year, I don't want that. I want a World Series or a failure. That's what the Yankee way should be.
Well, somebody on X posted during the week, or after the trade deadline, it was like, oh, how could Hal be okay with this? Brian Cashman is running his business into the ground. And I was like, you got to take a step back here. He's not running Hal Steinbrenner's business into the ground. The Yankees' evaluation goes up year after year
This is the
after
best
year.
the Yankees' business has arguably ever been.
Hal Steinbrenner sees the receipts. That's what matters to him. And that's okay, though. That's what people have to understand here. It is okay to run a business, which the Yankees are, like a business. But also, at that point, let's put some people in charge that can bring a little bit more revenue into your business. And how do you get more revenue, Ryan? By winning baseball games and playing more baseball games at home, by winning more baseball games and advancing in the postseason. That's where you want to fault Hal Steinbrenner. He's loyal to a fault. And I was talking to somebody today, and it's like, oh, do you think if they miss the postseason, they'll make changes? I go, The only reason why I could foreseeably see that happening is because Brian Cashman's contract ends at the end of this year.
Yeah, the 10-year deal is done.
So we knew after 22, he really, there were the rumors he wanted to walk away, but his loyalty to Hal, he didn't want to go while he was trying to re-sign Judge and all that. We talked about that ad nauseum in the past. So could Brian Cashman on his own say, I'm done? I've been the GM for nearly 30 years. I've been in the organization for 40. It's overstayed. Maybe he is now realized he's overstayed his welcome. Could we be at that point? But I said, unless the Yankees bring in somebody from outside the organization, Boone's probably still going to be here just based on the sole fact that Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to be bothered to learn somebody else's name.
And Judge likes him too. That's a big part.
I think the guys do like him, man. I don't think Aaron Boone's a bad guy, and I've always said that. I don't think Boone is a bad guy. I just don't think he's the right guy to be leading a professional baseball team. And I think we've always been fair about when we wanted Boone gone. You know, there were fans screaming for Aaron Boone to be fired after 2018. And I'm like, dude, this guy's never managed before. He's won 100 games. Like, let's wait and see how this develops. And now, you know, I'd say they were right, but I don't think rushing to fire this guy after 2018 was the right move. I was willing to give him the 3 years and see what we had there. And then, you know, ultimately, I felt like you can't really fire anybody off the COVID season. Like, that was just too weird of a thing to do. So they picked up his option for year four. They lost in a wild card game to Boston in 2021. That was the time. His contract was up. You could have walked away, not had to have any hard conversations. Just be like, contract's up, we're moving on. But no, they gave him an extension. They still didn't win. They gave him another one.
I think the only way you're not seeing him back is if, like you said, if because I don't think Steinbrenner will move on from Cashman. I think that's going to be up to Cashman.
It's totally Brian's call.
Yeah, it's Brian's call. Brian's song.
Let's end the show here. We didn't really touch on it at all, but we have to. I mean, it's the biggest thing going on with the Yankees right now. And that's, you know, we did mention that Aaron Judge said that he's coming back. He's been cleared for activities. You know, he's working his way back there. If he's back on September 1st, that's kind of what we're all hoping for. That's kind of what we all need there. The way he gets a full month before October, and he's got some games under his belt before the Yankees play Tampa and Boston towards the end of the month. So that's what we're all looking at. He's taking BP. He's running in the outfield. He's kind of a little bit ahead of schedule, so that's a good thing right there. Stan shouldn't be too, honestly, he shouldn't be too far away. But who knows with him, right?
Who knows?
But the big thing here, and I knew this was going to happen. People were going to argue with me that either he wasn't coming up or he was going to wait until the 15th so the Yankees can get another year of control. I said he's going to be up here on August 4th because it's just the perfect date where the Yankees can kind of mask whatever happened or didn't happen at the trade deadline. And that was George Lombard getting called up here. And I said on Monday, this was before we knew it was officially happening. And I said, this is kind of like, I didn't want this to happen here where the Yankee fan was going to look at him as like the savior here because of what they didn't do with the deadline. I didn't want that pressure put on him. You know, didn't we learn our lesson from Volpe? And then they called, you know, we learned after the game on Monday that he was getting called up. So he got called up on Tuesday. He made his major league debut. And I mean, could George Lombard have had a better major league debut than what we saw on Tuesday evening in the Bronx there? Immediately, we saw what a legitimate major league shortstop looks like. I always tell people, look at the eye test. People don't want to look at the eye test. They want to look at a computer instead. They want to use their eyes to read what a computer screen says instead of what their eyes show them on the field. And what my eyes has showed me on the field in the last 2 days is night and day than what my eyes have showed me for the better part of 4 years of Anthony Volpe playing shortstop. This kid and George Lombard Jr. has so much more athletic and raw ability than Anthony Volpe does. It's not even funny. And I don't even mean to take a swipe at Anthony Volpe, but when you see it, you know it. And George Lombard Jr. is a legitimate major league shortstop. Brian Cashman has been saying that even since spring training, the glove is major league ready. And we've seen that in 2 days that the glove is major league ready, and the Yankees have a legitimate shortstop out there now. And you're now when ball gets hit to short, you're not worried anymore. This guy
You get
is
a little
making
excited, you get a little chubby.
the guy is making the routine look routine, whereas Anthony Volpe didn't do that. He made you worry about routine plays, and he's making this spectacular play as well. Now, I'm not ready to anoint him the savior or the second coming after 2 games, but like I said, when you see it, you know it. And he hit a home run on Tuesday, which was awesome. So he got that out of the way quickly. I'm not expecting it, George Lombard to go out there and hit 320 because, as we've known from following him, it takes him a little bit to get his feet wet offensively before he starts taking over. So if he struggles here for the next 3 or 4 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised. But Ryan, there's a lot to be excited about with this kid. And I think that the Yankees, if they play their cards right, have a guy here that is going to man the position for the next 10 years, where we were hopeful that that was going to be Anthony Volpe, and maybe it's like the cheerleader effect. I don't know if you subscribe to this theory here, where when you group one ugly girl in with a whole bunch of hot girls, she becomes prettier, and then you pull her away from the hot girls, and then on her own, you're like, it's maybe like a four or five at best right there. So maybe it's like that situation where, like, we've been looking at a four here, so naturally now he looks like a nine. But like I said, when you see it, you know it. And I love the way the kid's playing shortstop. I'm not, like I'm saying, like, I just want Yankee fans to kind of be a little bit patient with George Lombard at the plate here, but the defense isn't going to slump, man. And we've seen that for 2 days here. And I was talking to a Met fan today, and he's like, "Oh, you can't be serious with the way you guys are talking about George Lombard." And I'm like, "Listen, guy, hold on a second, okay? The way I'm talking about George Lombard is this: the guy's a legitimate major league shortstop. Whether or not I don't think the bat's going to be there right away, but it's what we talked about right now. Instead of scoring one more, you're going to prevent the other team from scoring one more with George Lombard at shortstop. And what it does also is it keeps Jose Caballero from having to play every day, which is not a role I really liked for him. The Volpe defenders were like this, like, "Oh, Caballero sucks, and now look at his OPS." Yeah, we were, com again, we're comparing Jose Caballero to a four, okay? That's what we were doing. Not that we ever wanted Jose Caballero to be the long-term solution at
No, he looked
shortstop
pretty damn good. He looked pretty damn cute.
for the Yankees. It's just that when you put him next to Anthony Volpe, he starts looking like Scarlett Johansson a little bit.
A little bit.
You
A little
know?
bit. He's rounding out.
He's when you're playing somebody next to Anthony Volpe, they're looking like prime Tiffany Amber Thiessen, okay?
Ooh, maybe a little Topanga.
I was always much more a Kelly Kapowski guy,
Yeah, oh,
okay?
me too, me too, me too. But I was a rerun guy with that in the morning. But you know what's crazy? The Volpe defenders, though, it's like I'm not gonna be one. I'm not trying to rip Volpe with the rise of Lombard. Like it's not interchange. It doesn't have to be a one and something that coincides with one another. The reason why it's frustrating that this defense of Volpe is how they projected this guy and what they projected him to be. And again, you said it before, kind of with a different point of like the Yankees don't look past, or Yankee fans do not look past like the whatever's going on right now. And it's been years of this, of a buildup where we have been kind of lied to in a way of like this false, it's almost like they were trying to speak it into existence, like fake it till you make it with Volpe. And it just, their words never matched the eyes. There was a moment though, and that's why I'm not ready to give up on Volpe. I'm ready to give up on Volpe the shortstop, because if you look at the numbers, Volpe only had what, one home run playing shortstop this year. Lombard already has one. Caballero only had eight throughout the year playing as a shortstop. It was a weird stat, but it was like as a shortstop. His days are done as a shortstop. But I'm not done with Volpe yet. I'm willing to give him another chance next year at second base because I want to see what this kid can do in the playoffs more consistently and just playing at a position maybe with less stress defensively could propel his offense. But I'm not against the Anthony Volpe experiment continuing, but the defense of him has just been it's he has n really just that it was the playoffs. That was really and I mean that's the time to really show what you're capable of.
I don't think Creed's a big fan of The Rock.
Why not?
Because I have a whole bunch of wrestling figures, like carded wrestling figures going down this side of the wall here. And then there's one right where my arm length is of The Rock. And he's, for the past 2 minutes, he's been trying to knock it off the peg.
Damn, dude, you think he's thinking it's Rocky?
I don't know.
He's trying to go for a rematch
But we were briefly discussing this in a chat earlier that, would you give Volpe a second chance at second base? And it's like, yeah, you could do that. And I'm not totally against it, especially like in the postseason, a platoon matchup, a tough lefty. Would you rather have Volpe at second versus Jazz at second? You can make the argument there. But I also think that this is a marriage that probably needs to end for both parties here. I think it might be best for everybody to just walk away from each other here.
I mean, because in terms of like value and stuff,
The
how
value's
much
not
more are
going to
you
be there. I
willing?
mean, like, you remember the Yankees didn't want to give up Volpe for any number of guys. I think was Freddie, not Fred, Matt Olson, that was the guy Braves asked for. The Yankees said no. Luis Castillo, that was the guy that Reds asked for. The Yankees said no. So you're just going to have to give him up for, pennies on the dollar, obviously, at this point. But I don't know, man. Like, will the Yankee fan be more forgiving of Volpe as a second baseman with Lombard there than they were of Volpe as a shortstop? Is it something that Anthony Volpe even wants to go through with himself? Now you got demoted. That's a demotion. They brought up Lombard, and now you're going to become the second baseman. That's can't be looked at anything but a demotion. Is that something Anthony Volpe wants? That's that quote stain, if you want to call it that, on his resume. Now he's got to be looking at the guy that took his job because he couldn't perform well enough to keep it. And then as the Yankees, like, you could say whatever you want about how they feel about Volpe, but moving into second base is admitting failure. And do you want to just keep that constant reminder of failure around? And does Anthony Volpe need a fresh start? Do the Yankees just need a complete break from Anthony Volpe? Does everybody need to be away from each other for the best of the organization, for the best of Anthony Volpe, the player? Is that where we need to be headed? So in the postseason here, if you want to sell me on Volpe being platoon with Jazz, I'm for it. I have no problem with that. But I think in the offseason, the Yankees' best interest for themselves and for Anthony Volpe is to trade him, let him get a fresh start somewhere, and just start over at the position. And I say start over because that means not re-signing Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point too of like the fact that he would be playing second and just every once in a while just glance over and see what happened, you
No,
know?
it'd be like you date a girl for
Yeah.
4 years and then you're invited to her wedding with the guy that she cheated on you with.
Right. And he's very successful, a guy too.
And he's better looking than you.
Yeah, much better looking, deeper wallet.
Remember, he's a nine and you're a four.
Right.
But she did love you for a long time. She did give you
Yes,
4 years of her,
gaslit because you gaslit her. Convinced her that you were something you weren't.
So Ryan, I gotta say, man, I missed you on the pod, bro.
I miss. I know. I haven't been on all year, dude.
we ran way longer than I wanted to, but I missed talking to you. I missed having
Me
you
too, bro.
around. So like I said, bro, we talk every day. Let's make this some more regular occurrence as we head down the stretch run here of not only the Yankee season but the NYYST podcast as a whole. The 10th and final season is dwindling down to a few dates here, and so is the 2026 baseball season. Here, as we are now almost, we're facing almost the midpoint here of August as the Yankees' first off day in a long time here today on this Thursday evening, and then they're going to start a three-game set with the Atlanta Braves here, which Max Fried makes his first start against his old team, the Atlanta Braves, this on Friday night here at 7:05 against Tyler Mahle, who has a 5.13 ERA. I mean, can we win this game? Can we hit a bad pitcher for Christ's sake? Is that too much to ask for?
That's a big
Probably,
game to
right?
win.
But then, and then Saturday is Old Timers Day. First pitch is 3:05. You want to talk about a sexy pitching matchup? We got one for Old Timers Day. Chris Sale versus Gerrit Cole.
Ooh, it's a classic matchup.
That's a classic pitching matchup right there. And then 1:35 to end the start here. You got Grant Holmes against Cam Schlittler. I mean, this is a preview. If you really want to think about it here, because Grant Holmes is a solid pitcher. So if you take it, Mahle's not going to be in their playoff rotation. But if you really want to kind of simulate what things can look like in the postseason, especially if the Yankees are going to be in a wild card series, you can do it in this series because the Yankees have Schlittler, Fried, and Cole, not in that order, but it's
Yeah.
Fried, Cole, and Schlittler pitching in that order. You have them lined up in this series for the first time in a three-game set. All three of these guys are going against one of the best pitchers in baseball, and Chris Sale to counteract that, and another good pitcher in Holmes. You can kind of look at what October might look like. Now, obviously, Bellinger and Stanton and Judge are going to be in the lineup for the Yankees, but pitching wise and how that could shake out, this is, could be a little bit of preview of October here.
Dude. That's wild. This will be the first series really with the three of them going. To see these three in the same going back to back to back like this in one series is just I love just having a team of just solid pitchers. It's their offense has made these games kind of tough to watch, but the pitching, the rotation that they've had this year, it's the best that I can ever really remember that
Now
they've had.
they all pitched together in the White Sox series, but there was a fourth game in there which kind of broke that. But this is the
Right,
first
but like
time.
I'm saying just like the way you put it, like a true
Against
series,
one
the way you
team, a
could
three-game
simulate it,
set, this is
that's what I
the
meant. Yeah,
the
no.
first time you got all three of them lined up together.
To win a series determined on their backs, you know?
Right.
Pretty cool.
And it's what you're it's like it's yeah. Evan Roberts was talking about this on the fan the other day. He's like, if your team is going to lose or play 500 ball like the Yankees have been, would you rather it be 2-1 every night or 10-7 every night? And he's like, oh, give me the 2-1 game. And I'm like, you know what? Part of what you watch baseball is for is entertainment. So do I love a good pitching matchup? Yeah, I love a good pitching matchup in the postseason. I love a good pitching matchup like once every 6 or 7 days, like throughout the course of 162. I don't want to sit through 100 2-1 ball games. It's not,
You want a different episode.
yeah, I want to watch a different episode. So if the Yankees are going to play this 500 game, I like they've been playing, I would rather them have more games like Monday night where they at least score some runs. They give you a little bit of excitement here before they end up losing. But I completely forgot what I was going to say here. There was a point to what I was saying. Oh, I
Just
would.
the
No,
whole.
what I was saying is that I haven't been out to Yankee. Well, I've been out to Yankee Stadium. I ran the race there in May, but I haven't been out to Yankee Stadium to watch a game yet this year. And we're coming down to where there's not many home games left. But my daughter's been bugging me for weeks now. When are we going to a game? When are we going to a game? And I'm like, me personally, and I feel shitty saying this, like I didn't care if I got out there this year. But like, you know, it's the kid, and
Yeah, she's asking to
you're
go.
gonna do it. So I was looking at last night, which good thing I didn't end up doing that because
Yeah.
the rain and the lights, and they ended up losing. Or Seattle because the weekends don't really work because they're playing Boston, they're playing Toronto. I mean, I think we have something the weekend. They're playing Toronto, then they're playing the Mets, and then, you know, like the last weekend of the year. I didn't want to wait till then to
Yeah.
go. Wanted to do like a nice summer night. So I looked at the Seattle series and I actually found tickets in the 130 section for like $40 a pop. So I was
Oh,
like, yeah.
sweet.
So I was like, I'll do that. But like, I'm
Yeah,
saying to
that's the
my,
best deal you're going to get at this point now with
so I'm
the
saying to
rest of the
myself,
schedule.
like, I don't want to subject myself to sit there, drive over the bridge in rush hour, pay the parking, pay the toll, feed her because she's gonna want ice cream and cotton candy and hot dogs. She's gonna want 10 souvenirs, and
You're going to get them.
I'm gonna get them to watch them be lucky to scratch across two runs, but this is what we do as dads. So I'll be out there on Wednesday night. But
Sweet.
like I said, if it was up to me and she wasn't asking, and especially with the way they're playing offensively, like I wouldn't do it. Let's see who's projected to line up then. If Fried is going, so I guess with the off day, Fried could go on
And when you go.
Wednesday. He could go on Wednesday with the off day if they wanted to skip Warren. I hope they skip Warren. I don't want to see Will Warren.
Have you even gone a season without going to a game
No,
in a
not even
while?
in no, not even in the not even in 2021, because they when they started letting people out, me and my cousin raced. We were like, fuck
Yeah.
yeah. And that was honestly, again, we've been super long tonight and we thank everybody for sticking with us, but when do we ever get SGR, man? This has been a
Okay. Wait a second. Keep going. Go ahead.
when they started let, I think it was around May, or they started letting people in, whenever it was. I think we went in May against the White Sox, but they were only sitting like four people to a row in every other row. I was like, this is fucking awesome, bro. We basically got like,
That's nice.
and we sat by the right field,
Yeah.
by the left field foul pole, and we're like, we basically got this whole friggin'
That's
section
sick.
to ourselves. That was so that, I mean, I don't want COVID to come back at all. I'll say
So was the
this.
last time you were at a game was it with me? Or
No,
did you go to a couple games after?
Sem and I went to the final game of the year last year against
Yeah.
Baltimore
Yeah.
because he wanted to go because they were giving out vouchers for tickets this year. And guess who didn't use any their vouchers? Him and I didn't.
Yeah, shit.
Because I was looking at them, and it was always like there was always something where one of the dates was available. Like I don't get home at early enough to go, or like I was looking at a certain date, and like I didn't have anybody to go to the game with. So it's like this is
Nah,
what
yeah.
I miss the days of when my buddy could, and this happened when we were in our early 20s, and I miss this. I love being a dad, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But honestly, like I miss the days of when my buddy would call me up at 6 o'clock and say, "Do you want to go to the Yankee game tonight?" Yes, hop in the car, be there well before first pitch, enough time to grab beers, enough time to grab something to eat and get in her seat, and maybe would only have cost us 40 or 50 bucks at that point.
Jesus. It's just crazy, man. You literally can't do anything without spending at least 100.
Well,
Shit like that.
I think we'll be at 100 before
You even get in.
we even walk in the door, and that's not even counting ticket prices. That's with parking, gas,
It's what
tolls.
50 for for parking.
Well,
What's the fucking bridge? 20?
if you don't mind walking, man, you gotta
Yeah, you go
park it.
River Ave.
You gotta go River Ave and walk through the train station.
100%.
But again, that gets a little sketchy with a 6-year-old late at night.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, you're not
They
going just with
gotta, I
your
mean,
buddy.
you and I are going. Yeah, we're
Right.
parking on River Ave and we're walking. I'm
Fuck yeah.
going with my
Yeah.
daughter. No, we're not doing.
No.
No, sorry.
Yeah, you
Daddy's
can't,
paying the extra 20
dude.
bucks. Don't worry, okay?
Some of those guys in that parking lot. Well, they're not as bad anyway. It's not as bad anymore, though.
It's still not something I want to
No,
do,
definitely not.
though.
Excusing it, you getting a lot, dude.
We're doing a lot for sure.
Yeah, you getting a lot.
So, like I said, it's Old Timers Day this weekend. Yanks and Braves coming up here. Yanks got all their starters lined up, so we'll see what happens, and we'll be back Sunday afternoon after the game to talk about all of it, man. SGR, this is an impromptu thing. I'm so fucking happy that you said yes. This show's trending probably close to an hour and a half. It flew by, man. I enjoyed
This is
every
great,
second of
dude.
it, man. Please, 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 bro. I know schedules are busy.
Yeah,
I've
but my
given.
schedule's really open right now, so I need to do this.
So we'll like I'll text the group on over the weekend. Let's
Okay.
try to get all of us here together, man. I mean,
That
like I
would be
said,
great.
there's five scheduled shows left. Obviously, we're gonna have more than that, but I would say over under, man, we're probably within the 15 range before it's time to close the lights here, man. So let's try to
Let's do
get
it.
everybody together, or at least, not so much just me by myself anymore. I don't.
Although, but don't knock that though, because you by yourself is friggin' some of the best shit going on right now with this
I love
team.
you, bro. You've always been my biggest fan, but I've always had more fun doing this with you guys. So,
It's fun to bounce and stuff like that, but don't knock that you're friggin' and some of the best in this business have been soloists. So you're friggin' great at it, but it is
This was great,
It's
dude.
like
Coming back on here, man.
remember the first the one scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's like masturbation, playing with yourself, dual mat or whatever the term was, and it was like playing with others.
Yeah.
Playing
One of
with
the.
others is always more fun.
Yeah. I gotta watch that again.
So thank you so much to everybody that's listened, everybody that's been supporting us, not only through our final season, but all 10 seasons here of NYYST. We love you guys so much. Please make sure you are subscribed to this podcast on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. It might be winding down, but you never know when there might be a surprise episode. We don't want you to miss anything. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review as well. We'd love to hear from everybody here in the final season. Please subscribe to NYY Underground on over on YouTube. The Bronx or Nowhere is scheduled to be back next week, so we don't want you to miss that. And please support Pete with Game Season Live. NYYST is still the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Don't forget to tell everybody that. We love you guys so much. This has been episode 540. Thank you so much for listening. SGR,
Go Yanks.
say goodbye.